Hey friends, welcome to the Victor Marks Podcast with Victor Marks, founder of All Things Possible Ministries. Welcome to the show where we bring you real conversations faced with life's hard truths, stories of redemption, and the latest from the front lines. Whether you're on the road, getting your day started, or finally settling in, we've got an exciting new episode planned for you. So let's dive in to today's show.
Thank you for joining us here on the Victor Marks Show. This is Frank Sontag. I'm sitting in for Victor as he is on deployment and has other things going on. He has trusted me with the microphone. And we're doing something kind of special here at All Things Possible Ministries. Victor has given me the opportunity to interview some of those behind the scenes, as it were. And we had three phenomenal interviews with three men that are men of God in ATP. And because the previous interviews were so phenomenal and we had so much left unsaid, we have decided to go with part two. Now, Chaz Yandell is the chief of staff at All Things Possible Ministries. He's also a pastor in Pueblo, Colorado. Chaz is back on the line. Chaz, how are you today, brother?
I'm doing great, brother. Thank you for having me again. And it was truly an honor to sit there and have that conversation with one of the best interviewers in Christian radio today. So thanks, Frank. I'm glad to be back.
Sure thing. And the check's in the mail for that comment. So we hope our listeners here on CSN heard the previous interview. Obviously, if they didn't, they can download the podcast. But I just want to kind of follow up and revisit some things that you said. And there was so much, as I said, left unsaid. So first of all, for those that may have missed the previous interview, share just a few moments about you being the chief of staff at ATP, what that entails, what exactly that means.
Yeah, we run with a very small group as far as employees, under 12. And that was an expansion from about seven just over a year ago. And so we try to keep it very, very streamlined so that the funding that does come in, as we are totally supported 100% by donors, no funding from any federal, any type of government sources at all. So this way it enables us to do more with what God provides us. And so we all here pretty much wear very many hats. And as the chief of staff, while I deal with all the people that do work here at ATP, I also end up overseeing a lot of different things, including video, audio. Usually when Victor travels abroad, I've been with him on just almost every trip since I've been on board. And so I often do photos and videos as well. And just whatever needs to get done. Logistics kind of comes naturally for me. And so as chief of staff, the joke here is I'm also the chief of stuff. So whatever needs to get done, we figure it out and get it done.
Now, in the first interview we did, you mentioned you are from Samoa. And I don't know if there's anything here, but as I was praying about the interview today, I was thinking about maybe asking you to talk more about Samoa, your upbringing. And, and in my mind, I was thinking, I've always noticed, and maybe it's just sentimental more than literal, but kind of like a brotherhood among men that have been born in that particular part of the world. And maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but anything you want to share from there, I'd love to hear.
Oh, sure. And I think you picked up on it. Polynesian culture is very relational, very relationship-based. There's a simple saying, Samoans are your greatest friends until they become your worst enemies.
Right.
And I don't think that we own that aspect of relationship. I think you find that in most warrior type of cultures, because warrior cultures have to be able to trust somebody with their lives. And so it's a two-way street. It's interesting because I was born in Ohio. You know, I come from, I have the blood, but I didn't necessarily have the culture growing up. Mm-hmm. My three eldest siblings were born in Samoa. The next two were born in Hawaii. And as my dad was in the Army, the last two of us were born here mainland side, my brother in Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and I was born in a place that's not even really known as a military base anymore, and that was Fort Hays in Ohio. And so I do know this, that having served with Victor overseas and, you know, across the country, there is definitely an aspect of brotherhood within just ATP. And it's pretty common that if that's not there when you come in to begin with, more than likely you're not going to feel that this is kind of where you belong. And so I know every single one of the guys that I serve with here, as well as the ladies at All Things Possible Ministries, we would all die for one another if need be. And so that type of camaraderie and that type of support really is what enables us to be able to do so much traveling, to be so much traveling in non-permissive environments, and just to go through life understanding that if you're going to be serving with Victor Marks and Eileen Marks and All Things Possible Ministries, you're going to have to be able to endure a lot of spiritual warfare, because the enemy doesn't like this little special forces movement that we've got here for Jesus. Mm.
Jazz Yandell is my guest, chief of staff, and other hats he wears at All Things Possible Ministries. You mentioned warrior culture. I'd love you to maybe share a bit more about that. You know, my men's ministry, we teach the warrior Jesus, not just the kind, loving, compassionate Jesus. And yet...
You do more than just the namby-pamby Jesus.
Yeah, we... look, I don't want to speak out of line here, but I leave that to the professional churches. I meet a lot of guys in church. They think they're supposed to be nice guys and, you know, check all the boxes. And I'm like, do you understand there's an enemy that wants to take you and your family out? And if you don't find the warrior Jesus, good luck on that one. What about warriorship? Absolutely. In any way we can maybe move forward on that theme for a moment or two?
Well, the whole concept of true godly manhood, when you look at it biblically, if the warrior aspect is left out, you have left out such a large portion of what God has given us in Scripture that it's an unbiblical representation that you have there. And so, you know, unfortunately, the warriorship to so many people, as soon as they hear the word, they see somebody probably maybe like the Maori guys who do the haka, you know, that's been become very... You know, and they see it kind of warriorship, meaning almost like a borderline craziness. But when you really look at it, it's that ability to know when, as a man, you got to fight, and to know when, as a man, you don't have to fight. And to understand that as a man, you're fighting always against those forces that would come after your family, that would come after your community, that would come after anything that would disrupt a Christ-centered lifestyle. And so there has to be this understanding that a warrior can, like a well-trained dog, be in one moment fighting fiercely to protect and to save life, and in the next moment be gently hugging and loving on a baby and the family members without, you know, any type of residual leftovers from that fighting aspect when it's not needed in specific instances. So I'm very thankful for all that you and your Kingdom Men's gatherings have done to help bring men together so that they could see and understand that this aspect of biblical Christ-like manhood has to be taught, has to be modeled, has to be shown that in Scripture, this is the way that it rolls. This is the image and the demonstration of what Christ himself lived and showed. I was talking with our COO, Jeff Teagues, about a book that he's writing about the scene at the cross, and it was something that has always impressed me that I believe 100% in my heart this is the way it happened. It's just not revealed in Scripture. That when Christ says that he lays down his life and no one takes it from him, that when he went to the cross and when they were going to put those nails into his hands, that I believe that the Romans that were there doing this, and this was their job, they were experts at it, they never had anybody do what Jesus did, yep. which was throw their arms, their hands out there
yep.
strongly. Not because most guys would resist, and we know from history looking at those things, they often use ropes to pull the guy's arms out so that they could get the nails in. Well, I believe 100% that Jesus just threw his hand out there and looked at the guy. And I think those types of actions of warriorhood, of understanding that laying down your life is exactly what God calls us all to do. And when you do things like that, you end up putting seeds into the hearts and the minds of those who may not believe at the moment, because mm-hmm. you approach life and you approach death so much differently than the rest of the world does.
Amen. Amen. In so many ways, we're called to spread the Great Commission and the good news of the gospel. And I think some of us think that means in words, and I think that's true, but sometimes that means an action and not necessarily literally you're handing out tracts on a street corner. It may be the way you live your life, and you're using the example of the way Jesus chose to go on the cross and take it all on himself. Mm. The strength that took is unimaginable. Mm. So here's the question that comes to mind. God makes us all uniquely different. For some men, their calling may be in an area specifically that we're talking about. Now, I've known you for a number of years, and I know God has called you in that area we're discussing, and also in the area of spreading the word of God to the lost. You and your wife have taken on many children. I want to talk about fatherhood for a few moments, because we live in a time where culture and fatherlessness is now normalized and accepted as that's just the way it is. And I know part mm-hmm. of the way God wired you is to say, no, we need to stand and be men of God and be fathers.
Oh, absolutely. And the number one thing for fathers that I always encourage people, and oftentimes with me, just because of the sheer numbers, people think, oh, you must have been a great dad. And my aspirations were never to be a great dad, but just to be as biblical a dad as I could be. We're thankful for his grace, because I think we might have talked about this before. I was listening to something on the radio coming in with somebody, but we are humans, so we're never going to get it all right. But for fathers, the big exhortation is to be there. As much as you possibly can, you got to be there, because you can't really be a father if you're not there. And that's the biggest challenge, I believe, within our culture and our society today, is the fact that so many young boys are growing up without that dad figure in their life. And I think you can, it's been said so many times by people that have experienced that, about what it was like growing up without a dad, that we see that the enemy's main, if not one of his main goals, is to make generations of fatherless children, especially fatherless boys. They may have a biological father, but is that father actually actively involved in their lives? And it's fun for us, because the next 2 weekends here at the training center in the Springs, we have trainings especially set up for dads and sons. And because this is something that's, in one sense, has been lost, and in one sense, it may be even seen that, like I think you said it earlier, that the professional churches may not even be thinking about how do we help this dad to exemplify a godly dad to this son, so that when that son goes and becomes a dad, he's got at least some remnants of what his dad did with him to help him to be a godly man. Because when that gets broken, when that chain gets broken of the natural progression and the natural downward slope of manhood being passed down, we see what happens. It's happening within our culture, and that's allbad.com.
Yeah, boy, for sure. Chaz, for those that may have missed the previous interview or they do not know you well, you and your wife, Terry, have been married for almost 40 years. You have 26 children, 6 biologically, 20 of whom you've adopted. And what I'd like you to share now, in your experience of being there, can you speak to those men listening right now that have maybe They've been taken out. You talked about spiritual warfare. They may not even know it because Satan lies, and maybe he has convinced men to step away, shame, guilt, telling them, you know, don't even try to rectify anything. It's broken for good. And a lot of men buy that. And so we're just taken out, and maybe on some level we want to be fathers, but we think the damage has been done and the pain is too great. And so we just continue aimlessly wandering through this life, not knowing that Jesus is a warrior king and his heart is about reconciliation and redemption. So if you can speak to the men right now, wide and varied, maybe in different parts of their life that are in a situation now where even talk about fatherhood, it's painful for them and they almost look down and think, you know, I've really failed in that area.
I can speak to this directly from someone, once again, who, as I said, it's always assumed that because we have a large number of kids that they're all on-fire believers. You know, they grew up in as pastor missionary kids, and right off the bat, you hear those terms, and that usually will give you some insight that probably a good number of them are in their wandering stage because of a lot of pressures that they grew up with, other people expecting them to be perfect just because they came from a pastor's household or a missionary household. And so to the men that are out there, here's what I say to you is that I've experienced children coming back home in the relationship after many years. And during that time of that separation to where the enemy's beating you up, I always come back to the fact that, well, God, you gave them to me for a certain amount of time because they're your kids. I did my best to raise them all in the ways of you. And now they're kind of doing what many people do in the sense that they just have to learn the hard way. And as every parent who came from some type of background where you struggled with either any type of substance abuse or just promiscuous living, and you don't want your kids to go through that, and you raise them up and you train them that that's all bad for them, but then they go off and do it, it's a heartbreaker because you had hoped that your relationship with your child would have helped them to avoid those pitfalls in life. But unfortunately, many of them just have to learn it the hard way.
Yep.
But here's the thing, the big encouragement I want to say to all the dads out there is that continue to pray for those kids. Continue to pray for those kids, because remember, they're God's kids and not yours. And he still wants to use you in this whole process and the picture of redemption, because this is exactly the way that it goes down. And if we think about our lives, most of us had that wandering time where we were doing our own thing, and God didn't bail on us. In essence, he was patiently waiting, and he was wooing us back. And some kids do well with the wooing aspect of you trying to continue to share and let them know that you're there for them. And some kids, it pushes them away. So each kid is different. And so we just simply need to trust that when God tells us that raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it, we just, in faith, trust the fact that the time frame between raising and them being old can be decades. But as long as we have breath, and if we truly do love our kids, then we just continue to pray that God would work through other people and through other circumstances to bring that home, and then eventually that we would hopefully get that reconciliation with us while we're still here. But most importantly, that God would have the reconciliation with them spiritually so that, you know, their eternal destiny is secured.
So good. Chaz Yandell is my guest. He is chief of staff here at All Things Possible Ministries. This is part two of an interview here on CSN. By the way, victormarks.com is one of our websites you can go to if you need help. If you want to find out more of the wonderful work that ATP does, please go to victormarks.com. Chaz, I've got about 5 minutes. I've probably got a few areas I can go in, but the one that really stands out to me, and feel free to maybe hang a left if I'm trying to have you go down another road, wherever you're led. But I know that when I've gotten to know you, you're not a man that is not free from struggles. We all are. But I get that you're really disciplined in the way you you approach your life every day. And we hear the, well, you need to wake up in the morning and spend quiet time, read the Bible, like there's this formulaic way of getting close to God. I would just love you to share a little bit about your discipline, your intentions, and how you walk with the Lord.
Well, first and foremost, Frank, I think formulas are good for a lot of people, but there's a lot of different formulas.
Yes.
I know there's the people who are early morning risers that get into their word. I happen to be one of those, but I'm also somebody who's a very late night person as well. I guess I'm officially old, Frank. I don't need much sleep. I hear only old people can get away with like 5 hours of sleep at night. Huh. And 5 to 6 is about all I normally get when I'm healthy. But as far as, you know, these formulas, I'm a big fan of Scripture. And I tell you, I just don't think that we can read and meditate too much on God's Word. That being said, and being a pastor, what I have also found is that you can spend a lot of time in a room by yourself reading and just contemplating on the things of God, and sometimes you miss out on a lot of, I believe, appointments that God has for you in meeting God through other people.
Wow.
And getting what God wants for you through serving other people. I mean, we can't look at Scripture without seeing that Jesus's life was this dichotomy of getting away and spending time with his Father and serving others, and very little, you know, time for himself in the modern, especially 21st century American way of looking at it. So for me, I know this, that I have some general formula, quote unquote. I read through the Bible just to read through it every year in a different version. I've got about 8 favorite versions that I read through, and I just rotate it through. But that's just for reading purposes. That is not for preparation for Sunday sermons. That's because I just want a devotional relationship with my God. Now, I have responsibilities as a pastor to also teach. That's totally different as far as for me, and I believe that's extremely important for people in ministry to understand, is that if you only come to God's Word to study, to give it out on Wednesdays or on Sundays or how many ever other days that you do it on, and you don't have a devotional getting alone with God time mm-hmm. in Scripture, then I think what usually ends up happening is life gets totally out of whack. And I've seen that happen in my own life early on in ministry. And so I just think there's this great balance of getting into God's Word, but then being in this world, seeing his amazing splendor and glory just in all of his creation, and that especially includes seeing him in lost people. And I know that for many people that's kind of a weird concept, that you could see God in the lost. Well, guess what? We're all made in his image.
For sure.
It's not the lostness that we see God in. It's the fact that, hey, I was once lost. This person's lost. If I can get saved, then why can't this person come to know God in a personal way? And once again, thank God for Scripture when Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul, the major writer of the New Testament, right? So there's always hope for everybody.
Oh, my goodness. I want to do part 3, part 4, and part 5. And maybe we will.
You got my number, brother. You got my number, brother. And
yeah.
I can do it as much as we want. So
yeah.
It's all good.
Well, this is such a blessing to so many. Chaz Yandell, Chief of Staff here at All Things Possible Ministries. This obviously is the Victor Mark Show. Victor is on deployment. My name is Frank Sontag. I am in the seat by which I can just be the vehicle to show you the many aspects of ATP and what God is doing here through so many. And Chaz, I'm grateful for you. I love you. Thank you for your time. And thank you for all you do in the kingdom and how just your walk in everyday life. I know that people meet and spend time with you and know, like I want to be brief here because we're basically out of time, but know that there's something about you. I remember before I became a Christian, we're supposed to be different from the world where people go, well, there's something about that dude. He seems, I don't know, I want some of that. And I think we've lost that in the professional church. And so thank you for being a light in this world by which there's so much darkness. And thank you for all you do at ATP. You are greatly blessed and loved. And thank you for being on the Victor Marks Show.
Well, I love you, Frank. And really, all of that good stuff that anybody ever sees, you and I know this better than anybody. When we're allowing Jesus to work through us and to live through us, that's what people need to see.
That's right.
And when the other stuff is there, we simply need to admit it and ask forgiveness and move on. But it's truly an honor to know you, Frank, and to call you brother. I love you tons, and God bless you with what you've got going on today.
Yep. Amen. You as well. Chaz Yandell, Chief of Staff at All Things Possible Ministries. Those listening here in Radio Land and this Victor Marks Show, we thank you. And again, reach out to us if we can serve you in any way, if you need help, if you want to bless us. Victor Marks, M-A-R-X, victormarks.com is probably one of the best websites to go to. And this is the Victor Marks Show.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. We'd love to stay connected with you and invite you to the conversation beyond this podcast. You can check out more of the work we're doing around the world at victormarks.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all linked in the show notes. Be sure to drop us a comment in the review section if today's show has impacted you in any way, or if there's anything you'd like to hear more of. We're always encouraged to hear from you. Thanks for spending your time with us. Until next time.